I was in room 208. This is room 208, isn't it? She swirled the ice in her glass and gave a little laugh.
And I'm sure you weren't so sure. You were in another room 208, that's for sure.
There was a certain unsteadiness in her voice which unsettled me. The alcohol might have been affecting her. I took my woolen cap off and laid it on my knee. I said to her, "The phone was dead, you know."
"Yes, I know,"
she said with a hint of resignation.
"They cut it. They knew how I used to like to make calls."
"Are they the ones who are keeping you here?"
I wonder. I don't really know,"
she said with a little laugh. The disturbance in the air made her voice quaver. Facing in her direction, I said, "I've been thinking about you for a very long time, ever since I was last here, thinking about who you are and what you're doing here."
"Sounds like fun,"
she said. "I imagine all sorts of possibilities, but I can't be sure of anything yet. I'm still at the imagining stage."
Well,
she said, as if impressed.
"So you can't be sure of anything yet. You're still at the imagining stage."
"That's right," I said. "And I might as well tell you this. I think you're Kumiko. I didn't realize it at first, but I'm becoming more and more convinced."
"Oh, are you?"
she said after a moment's pause, sounding amused.
"So I'm Kumiko, am I?"
For a moment I lost all sense of direction, as if everything I was doing was off the mark. I had come to the wrong place to say the wrong things to the wrong person. It was all a waste of time, a meaningless detour. But I managed to set myself straight in the dark. To perform a check on reality, I fastened my hands on the hat in my lap. "Yes, I think you're Kumiko, because then all kinds of storylines work out. You kept calling me on the phone from here. You were trying to convey some kind of secret to me, a secret of Kumiko's, a secret that the real Kumiko in the real world couldn't bring herself to tell me, so you must have been doing it for her, in words like secret codes." She said nothing for a while. She lifted her glass for another sip of whiskey, then said,
"I wonder, but if that's what you think, you may be right. Maybe I really am Kumiko. I'm still not sure, though. So then, if it's true, if I really am Kumiko, I should be able to talk to you here through her voice. Isn't that right? It makes things a little complicated. But do you mind?"
"No, I don't mind," I said. Once more my voice seemed to have lost a degree of calm and some sense of reality. She cleared her throat in the darkness.
"Here goes, then. I wonder if it will work."
Again she gave a little laugh.
"It's not easy, though. Are you in a hurry? Can you stay here a while?"
"I don't really know," I said.
"Wait just a minute. Sorry. I'll be ready in a minute."
I waited.
"So, you came here looking for me. You wanted to see me. Is that it?"
Kumiko's earnest voice resounded in the darkness. I had not heard Kumiko's voice since that summer morning when I zipped her dress up. She had been wearing a new cologne behind the ears, cologne from someone else. She left the house that day and never came back. Whether the voice in the darkness was the real thing or a fake, it brought me back to that morning for a moment. I could smell the cologne and see the white skin of Kumiko's back. The memory was dense and heavy in the darkness, perhaps denser and heavier than in reality. I tightened my grip on my hat. "Strictly speaking, I didn't come here to see you. I came here to bring you back," I said. She released a little sigh in the darkness.
"Why do you want so badly to bring me back?"
"Because I love you," I said.
"And I know that you love me and want me." "You sound pretty sure of yourself,"
said Kumiko, or Kumiko's voice. There was nothing derisive about her tone of voice, but nothing warm about it either. I heard the contents of the ice bucket in the next room shifting.
"I have to solve some riddles, though, if I'm going to get you back," I said.
"Isn't it a little late to be starting such things now? I thought you didn't have that much time."
She was right. There was not much time left and too much to think about. I wiped the sweat from my brow at the back of my hand. This was probably my last